Well, good afternoon, River Church. How we doing? You can clap. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Merry Christmas. Hey, I got a quick question for you as we kick it off. How many of us are finished with our Christmas shopping? Any of you guys stressed out and got to stop by a gas station tonight to pick up some Pringles for somebody? Are we good, huh? You got it? All right. I hope you're good. Hey, I am so glad that you're here. Thank you for spending your Christmas Eve with us at the River Church. If you're new here today, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We have been, as a church, walking through a series that we call Advent. And the word Advent means the anticipation of an important person or event. And so in the Advent season, what we do is we spend this time anticipating and preparing our hearts for the most important person and the most important event, which was Christ coming some 2,000 years ago. And so over the last month, we've been walking through a series where we've talked about this idea of hope, and that when Christ came to earth, his arrival here to earth was hope realized for the first time. It was the actualization of hope. In our second week, we talked about this truth that as Jesus arrives on earth, he comes as the Prince of Peace who brings peace on earth and leaves us with the peace, or with peace through his Holy Spirit. We talked about joy, that the response to the arrival of Christ on earth is joy because he comes as the Savior. And not that he comes as a Savior, but that Luke tells us he came specifically as a Savior for you. Amen? Because if he just came as a Savior but not for you, who cares? Am I right? Can we say that in church? Who cares? But because he comes as a Savior for you, that changes everything, doesn't it? And last week, we finished talking about that all of these things, that the hope Christ brings us, the peace that Christ brings us, the joy that Christ gives us, was all an act of love by our Heavenly Father. And so today, we're going to finish out on this Christmas Eve by focusing our hearts on Christ, the child that was born in a manger some 2,000 years ago that's going to change everything. You guys see these paintings that are up here with me? Didn't they do a great job on these? Every year, you can clap, yep, you can clap. This one right here was actually done by our upper elementary class. And what these paintings represent is every year during our Advent season, Advent series, we have different people paint paintings that go along with the different weeks of Advent. So it's kind of become for us as a church one of our kind of church family traditions. It's kind of what we do as a family to celebrate Advent in that way. It's kind of unique to our church. The video that you guys watched earlier of the video camera and waking up the kids was a family tradition from a family in our church, the Storms, if you know Corey and Maureen Storm. And every year for Christmas, he would get a video camera and wake his kiddos up way before the sun even came up to bring them Christmas presents. Now, they didn't seem like they liked it too much, right? But once they got the presents, like, things got better, right? And I mentioned this in the first service because I didn't catch it until the video. But did you guys see the iPod on there? Did that make you feel old? Because it made me. Like, I remember seeing, I think I was a senior in high school when those came out. And I'm going, that video looks so old. And you're going, oh my goodness, right? Right? What has happened, right? But it's a family tradition that they carried as a family, that he was going to wake them up early and they're going to open presents. And last week, when I encouraged you guys to come and be at one of our services, one of the reasons why I told you to make sure that you would be here was because I said I want to encourage you to make worshiping Jesus with your family one of your family traditions, that you would gather with your family and worship Jesus together, that would be a family tradition that you hold. And the reason why I said that, the reason I talk about the Advent paintings and the video that Corey and Maureen shared with us and the family tradition of worshiping together is because that it's that family traditions matter, don't they? The traditions that we have are important. The family traditions that we celebrate and carry with our families mean something to us. Like, if I were to ask you to begin to go back through your life and to begin to think about some traditions that you've done with your family or memories that you have, maybe when you were a kid or as a parent or even now, wherever you are, that there's probably family traditions that you could look back on that meant something to you, can't you? I was thinking a lot about that this week because it's in my sermon, so I had to think about it, right? But But I was thinking about a lot of the family traditions that we've experienced. And growing up, one of the most fun family traditions we had was that every year we would either go to Tennessee or Mississippi or Alabama to celebrate our Christmas with our family that lived there. By the way, my grandmother's here from Tennessee today. Y'all give it up for her. This is Gran. Give it up for Gran. But it was a family tradition that we had that we would go to Tennessee or Mississippi or Alabama and we'd play with the cousins and we'd, of course, I remember getting up and opening presents on Christmas morning and they were just traditions that we had that meant so much to us. I remember thinking about it. I remember every year, one thing that we looked forward to every single year was that in Tennessee, we were going to play a family football game. And so every year, I look forward to this because it meant bragging rights for the rest of the year, right? And so we got forward to it. We argued about it. We talked trash about it. And I every year look forward to, we called it the Postin Bowl, that we were going to get to play. Another family tradition we had was I have an Uncle Lee. And my Uncle Lee, every single year, wanted to watch It's a Wonderful Life. And so every single year, we watched It's a Wonderful Life. And every single year, my Uncle Lee fell asleep watching It's a Wonderful Life. Right? The guy still doesn't know how the movie ends, right? He doesn't know that it gets better for George, right? He just thinks it's a sad movie, right? And so every single year we watch that movie. Another family tradition I was thinking of, and my dad's here, and I was thinking about my grandpa who, when we were really young, my boy's age, would read us the Christmas story every year when we were in Alabama. And I remember my dad now, when we go and celebrate Christmas tomorrow, we'll read the Christmas story to my kiddos. And if you weren't planning on it, you have to now because I just said it in the sermon. Sorry, Dad. Another one I was thinking of, especially lately, and it seems kind of like a random one, but really something that meant a lot to me, is I've been thinking about squirrel hunting with my grandpa. Going squirrel hunting with my grandpa. And I remember getting up early with them when I was a little kid, 7, 8, 9 years old, maybe younger. I remember he would give me a hunting vest that had shotgun shells in it and 22 bullets and all kinds of ammo that an 8-year-old shouldn't have, you know what I mean? But it made me feel cool, and I remember that. And I remember getting that vest, and we'd go out and walk. I remember the cold air. I remember him teaching me, if you've ever hunted, you know this one. I remember him teaching me how to roll my foot the right way, heel to toe, so that I would crunch the leaves as quietly as possible and not bother any of the animals. And I remember being 8 and being like, Grandpa, am I doing it right? Right? Am I doing it right? And he's like, good job, you know, good job, right? And I remember him, at, again, a very young age, giving me that 22. And he would say, all right, great son, I'm going to walk out past the trees. And as I walk past the trees, the squirrels are going to run to the other side of the trees because I'm going to scare them. And when they run to the other side of the trees, start shooting at the squirrels. And I remember being 8 thinking, this is a very, very bad idea. Anybody else? Right? We miss him very much, right? We miss him very much. Just kidding. Just kidding. But I remember feeling so special going hunting with Grandpa, and I remember that being that little kid. And the thing about it is, I don't think he meant for that to be a tradition for us. That he did. I don't know if he thought ahead of time, I'm going to make this a family tradition, something I do with my grandson. But it meant a lot to me, and it became a part of me, and it felt like something he did intentionally. And that's something I want to talk to you about this morning, is that when it comes to family traditions, sometimes family traditions are intentional. Like we say, we're going to watch this movie, or we're going to do this thing, and it's something that we do on purpose. But sometimes family traditions happen unintentionally. Here's what I mean by that. Watching It's a Wonderful Life every year was something that we chose to do intentionally. We're going to watch this movie, my Uncle Lee falling asleep every single year, unintentional, right? The family football game that we had every single year, that's something intentional. We're going to do this every single year. We're going to play this game every single year, fighting and arguing and yelling at each other and arguing about the score, unintentional. But it became part of the tradition. We did it every single year, right? That's how it worked. And here's the thing is that when it comes to traditions, some we create, some we do intentionally, and some happen just because that's who we are. That's who our family is. That's the way we do things, right? Like my grandpa didn't, I don't think, take me hunting thinking, we're going to do this intentionally, and it's going to be a tradition we do every year. It's something he loved to do. It's a part of who he was. And so he brought me along for the ride, and I got to be a part of it. But then that memory became a tradition and became part of me and became something I think about when I think of him. And here's why this matters. Is because the traditions that we have with the people we love over time form us, over time shape us, over time become part of us. And I would bet that there's going to be some things you're going to do this holiday season. Like maybe you've already done them, maybe you're going to do them tonight or tomorrow, that the reason why you do it is because when you were a kid, we always did it. Right? That, man, when I was a little kid, this meant so much to me, or when I was a little kid, I loved it when we did fill in the blank. There's going to be some things you're going to celebrate or do with your family the reason why you do them is because when you were young, they meant something to you. They shaped you. They became part of you. They stuck with you. And you want to repeat what you experienced and what you felt with the people you love. And here's the interesting thing about those traditions, because those traditions that form us over time go from being a tradition to being part of our heritage. They go from being something we do to who we are. And those traditions, those things that turn into our heritage, become a way that we identify ourselves, and we begin to think, we respond this way because this is who my family are. We love this way because this is who my family is. We even mourn this way because that's how my family lives. We celebrate this way because that's how my family is, and this is the foundation we walk in, and this is the heritage that we have, and so this is how we respond to difficult circumstances. This is how we respond to good circumstances because that's who my family is. And that heritage becomes a part of us. And then, over time, that heritage becomes something that we pass down from generation to generation, person to person. And those things, whether done intentionally or unintentionally, that become a part of who we are, matter because they've shaped us. But here's the thing, is many of those things we're proud of, amen? Many of those things we think of as part of our heritage that we're proud of, we're excited about, we're happy about. But I would bet if we were honest, and I know it's church, so we can't be too honest, right? Can't be too honest. But I would bet that if we were honest, we would look at not traditions, but maybe our heritage. Some of the things that feel like it's in our DNA, some of those things that feel like it's part of us, some of those things that have been passed down to us, and we would look at some of those things and we would think, man, I wish that wasn't there. Man, I wish I could get rid of that. Man, I know that that's been passed down to me, but I don't like it. And I would bet that there's some things that are part of our heritage, again, passed down to us intentionally or unintentionally, that we think about and we think, I don't want that to continue. That instead of thinking of that as, yep, that's the way our family does things, it's, yeah, that's the way my family does things. Because the things that sometimes get passed down to us, we're not so excited about. And some of the things that get passed down to us isn't a heritage we're proud of, but it's brokenness that's been passed down from generation to generation. And just like the good things I mentioned, some of those difficult things that we don't like, that we're not proud of, become part of our heritage, and they become part of the way we identify ourselves, and we say, that's just who we are. That's just how my family is. That's how we love each other. That's how my family responds in difficult times. And you know it's true, and you feel it as true, because what I'm talking about is part of the brokenness that's in our world. And that brokenness isn't just something that you and I experience or you and I know of. It's part of the heritage of humanity. We feel that brokenness because we live in a broken world. But I want to tell you something. Some 2,000 years ago, the baby that was born that we're celebrating today brought hope to that brokenness. Amen? And for thousands and thousands of years, no matter how hard we tried, that no matter what we did, there's something that was passed down from generation to generation to generation that wasn't a heritage of blessing. It was a heritage of what felt like a curse, or what was a curse. And it started all the way back with Adam in the garden. And from that moment on, the curse of sin was passed down from person to person to generation to generation. And no matter how hard we tried, how hard we worked, how hard we begged, how hard we did our best, we failed at fixing that brokenness. And from generation to generation, what was simply passed down was the brokenness of sin. Merry Christmas! Some of y'all are thinking, next year, our family tradition is to not go to the River Church, right? And that's what it was. Brokenness after brokenness passed down generation after generation. But then something happened. Amen? But then one day, God made a promise. And I'm going to read one of his promises from Isaiah 9, verse 6. Here's a promise he made to you and me. He said, "For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be named," names matter, church, "he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Amen? And then one day, an angel came and made another promise to a young woman, and it's from the story we read earlier. He made this promise in Matthew 1 and 21 through 23. He said, "And you will give birth to a son. And you are to name him Jesus." Why? "Because he will save his people from their sins." Amen? And she said, and the angel said in verse 23, "And they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." And I love that. He said, "You will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And you will call him Emmanuel because he is God with us." And the only way that God could be a God that could save his people from his sins was to be a God who came to be with us. Amen? And yet he didn't think of himself too highly. He was a God who said, "I'm going to go to save my creation." Praise God. Amen? Amen. Get it, Skylar. And to a world that was broken, to a world living in a curse from generation to generation, God made the promise that he was not going to be a God to leave us in the curse. He was going to be a God who could break the curse. And then it happened. Look at Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 4. It says, "And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth." This is the story I read to the kiddos earlier. "In Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him. And she was pregnant. And while they were there, a time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Now we read that story and it seems like such a simple thing. It seems like just another baby being born, right? Just another kid. Why do we care? Well, look at how the angels and the shepherds respond. You got to keep reading. Look at the response, verse 8. It says, "In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" Amen? "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." In verse 13, "Suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors.'" Praise God. Amen. You read that story and you think, why are we so excited about that? Because at that moment when Jesus was born, it was the promise of God coming true. At that moment when Jesus was born, at the arrival of Christ, God in the flesh, the curse that had been passed down from generation to generation to generation was as good as being broken. Amen? A curse that had become not a tradition, but the heritage of humanity was as good as crushed. would have been passed down from generation to generation was a curse of wickedness, of brokenness, of shame, of guilt, of sin, of death. But now, because of the birth of this little baby, all of that was about to be broken. All of that was about to be crushed. All of that because of a little baby born in a humble manger some 2,000 years ago. The child that was born would come and rewrite the course of history. And I want to say this to you, church. He's a Savior who can rewrite your history. Amen? He's a Savior who can rewrite your future. He's a Savior who can remove a heritage of curses and replace it with a heritage of blessing. Because Christ was born, the curse of sin would be broken, and what had been passed down from generation to generation with no hope doesn't have to be true anymore. Because Christ is with us, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Word who would become flesh, would, could, and will change everything. Amen. You can clap, it's okay. And now, instead of our heritage as Christians being a heritage of curses, sin, shame, and guilt, your heritage can be a heritage of hope. Your heritage can be a heritage of peace. Your heritage can be a heritage of joy and love and life and blessing and goodness and fulfillment. All because the Christ child was born some 2,000 years ago, and that makes this a very Merry Christmas. And it changes everything. Because the Christ child was born some 2,000 years ago, chains can be broken, lives can be healed, relationships can be restored, hope is alive, peace is here, joy can be found because of an act of love from God our Father, that He looked at us and sent His Son so that we might have salvation. And it's an act that can completely change everything. Amen? And so here's my hope for you, church. I don't know what traditions you walked in here with. I don't know what heritage you walked in here with. But I want you to know that because the Christ child was born, you can walk out of this place no longer with a heritage of curses, but with a heritage of blessing. That your family tradition, your family heritage can be one of faith. It can be one of forgiveness. It can be one of hope, joy, peace, and love. And so my hope for you this Christmas season is that you would know deeply the family heritage that comes from being a child of the one true living God. A heritage of life, forgiveness, and freedom. And that you would walk in it, experience it, and that as generations come after you, it would be a heritage that you pass down from generation to generation to generation. And I know you can't pass down salvation. We're not saved because our parents were saved. Salvation is a very personal choice. But because your life has been changed by the power of the salvation of Christ, the heritage that you pass down to your children can be the promise of hope. It can be the promise of peace. It can be a life of joy. It can be a life of love. And that heritage can change the course of your family to forever. Because you know the soul-saving, life-transforming, chain-breaking, sin-crushing power of a heritage that comes with being a child of God. Amen? My hope is that you walk in it, you pursue it, you live in it, you walk confidently knowing that Christ has changed your life and there ain't nothing that He can't do. Amen? Stand with me, church. Some 2,000 years ago, Christ came to this earth to break the curse of sin. He came to give you a new heritage, a new story, a new way to define your life, a new way to define yourself. that you can walk in your relationship with Christ and you can say, this is who my family is. This is how we do things. This is how we live life. This is how we celebrate. This is how we mourn. This is how we love. This is how we respond in difficult times. This is how we respond in good times. This is how we love one another, because our heritage is a heritage of hope and life and joy and peace, because my foundation is Jesus, given to us by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that your life would be changed forever. All from a baby who came some 2,000 years ago. Who would have thought, amen? Who would have thought? I'm going to pray, and we're going to worship, and you guys got some candles there with you. I encourage you to turn those things on. Let's worship together as we sing a medley of Christmas songs. Let's worship Jesus, because he is good, and he has come to change the world. And when he came, because he came, nothing is the same. Let's pray, church. God, I love you, and I'm so thankful for you. Thank you for what you've done for us through your son, Jesus. Thank you that you bring blessing and life to us, God. I pray that no one walks out of this space without knowing the life-changing, soul-saving power of God. It's in Christ's name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Let's worship, guys.